it's always good to be here. Privileged to share with you this morning. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited because football season started this weekend. Auburn High School won their first game. I'm not sure we're going to be very good this year based on how we played in the first game. Auburn University starts Friday night in Waco. I'm going. I'm excited. I hope next week when I'm here that I have a voice left. I tend to think they can hear me from the upper deck. And so, Lord willing, as we come together next week, you'll be able to hear me. Last night, Robert Dillard texted me about 10 o'clock and said, "Hey, remember you're preaching tomorrow." I replied and said, "Well, I guess I ought to start working on something." So he suggested, that's not true, I was ready. I don't want y'all to think I had, but he suggested that, so just so you know, I'm here preaching this Sunday and next, and he suggested that this week I preach on tempering expectations, and next week preaching on dealing with disappointment. What I'm actually going to preach on is that God is our refuge. And then next Sunday, we're going to look at the same passage, and we're going to see that God is our victory. And Lord willing, I'll find a way to tie it into Auburn winning the first football game. So Joan, make sure you're here next week, because I know you love it when I talk about Auburn. In all seriousness, it's a privilege to be here. We are going to be in Psalm 46 this morning, and we are going to look at God as our refuge. And so as you're turning there, we'll get started. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 is one of the most precious and glorious promises ever given to the church. And you're saying, "I thought you said we were going to be in Psalms," and we are. But in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." And the beauty of that verse is it gives us confidence that Christ and his church will ultimately prevail. God's people will endure not because of our strength, but because of his. But often we miss the crucial truth in that promise. Protection assumes danger. If Jesus says the gates of hell will prevail against the church, then that means the gates of hell are certainly going to try to prevail against us. Satan will press in, schemes will threaten, darkness will attempt to overwhelm the light. And I don't know about you, but I've felt this. Spiritual battle is real. We feel tension in our homes, in our workplaces, in our world, even in our hearts. Fear creeps in, fear of the unknown, fear of the future, fear of failure, fear of loss. Perhaps that's why the most repeated command in the Bible is to do not be afraid. Fear not. God knew we would face fear, but in his providence, he takes our fear and uses it to draw us nearer to himself. Fear should drive us to faith. Fear reminds us that our strength is not enough. And so we must cling to the one who is. And in Psalm 46, God gives us one of the most comforting reminders in all of Scripture. When the world shakes, he does not. When our strength fails, he remains. When our hearts tremble, his promises hold us steady. The psalmist boldly declares that God is our refuge. And so this morning we're going to look at this text and we're going to see three truths related to God as our refuge. So if you have your Bibles, read along with me as we're just going to read the whole psalm. We're going to read the whole psalm next week too. So starting in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Father, as we spend the next few minutes together, God, I pray that we would be renewed in our understanding that you are our source of strength and our place of refuge. And God, I pray that as we dive into this text, that the things that I say would be your words and not my own. That we would leave here with truths that we could apply as we seek to become more like you. We ask all this in your name. Amen. So to really grasp the psalm and what the psalmist is saying, we need to understand the background of the passage. During the ministry of Isaiah, the entire Near East lived in the shadow of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were notorious for their brutality. They didn't just conquer you, they terrorized you. They taunted cities before attacking, boasted that no god had ever saved anyone from their hands. They burned homes, they killed children, they violated the women, they mocked the faith of every nation that they encountered. And Judah knew that fear well. In Isaiah 36 and 37, messengers from Assyria mocked King Hezekiah. They mocked him in chapter 36, verse 18. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. No god or any nation or kingdom has ever been able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my fathers, talking about the Assyrian fathers. Can you imagine the warriors just flat out telling you that your god is so powerless? There is nothing that you can do. And so what did Hezekiah do? He did the only thing he knew to do. He took their threats and he laid them before the Father in the temple and he prayed, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes and see. And that's just what he did. That very night, while the people slept in fear of the Assyrian army, the angel of the Lord went into the camp and struck down 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. The people of God woke up the next morning to silence. The battle had been won while they slept. The battle had been won while they slept because God himself had fought for them. And most commentators believe that it's out of that experience that this psalm was written. Out of a hopeless situation, God displayed his power. And out of overwhelming fear, he gave overwhelming peace. And so the psalm, as we'll look more detailed into next week, was a song of victory declaring the Lord of hosts is with us. And so with that context, I want us to see three truths about God as our refuge that we can see from this passage. And the very first truth is that God is our refuge in times of trouble. Susie laughed when I told her my points because the very first phrase in the very first verse of the psalm is that God is our refuge. It seems pretty simple, right? We start at the beginning. The psalm begins with an incredible promise. God is our refuge. What is a refuge? A refuge is a safe place. It's a shelter. It paints the picture of a hiding spot from when danger threatens. In the ancient world, people would flee to fortified cities or caves or high towers, seeking protection from the trouble that would come. In today's context, maybe it's a storm shelter. Not at my house. I like to go out and watch the storm blow in. But what I really should be doing, what we all should be doing, is we should be going to that storm closet, right? Maybe it's the stairwell underneath, the closet underneath the stairwell, or maybe you have the full-blown tornado shelter that's buried in your backyard that you go down. I'm always worried about those. Afraid it's going to rain so much that they fill up with water while I'm in there. But I guess if I'm sitting on the front porch watching, I would know. But when the sirens go off, we don't usually wait to see if it's really coming. We go to safety, whatever our safety plan is, right? In the same way, the psalmist recognizes that God himself is this place of safety for his people. He is our refuge. The truth is that trouble is going to come. You all know that, right? No one in this room has lived a trouble-free life. Trouble is going to come. But the beauty of this verse and the reminder that we have today is that when trouble comes, God's children have a place to go. A place that will not be shaken. A place that can withstand any storm. And we see that as the psalmist continues that not only is God our refuge, but God is our strength. So not only is he going to shelter us for the trouble that we face, but he's going to strengthen us and empower us to endure the time of trouble. That doesn't mean that he's going to take it away. Instead, it means he's going to give us the courage to face the circumstances. And in the moment that our strength runs out, his strength will sustain us. The final promise of this verse is that God is a very present help in time of trouble. God is not distant and God is not delayed. He is near, he is attentive, and he is active in both the good times and the bad. We've all been a part of group projects in school. And we've all had that one person in our project that shows up at the very end, does the smallest amount of work possible, and then expects to receive the same grade as everyone else. Some of us might even be guilty of being that person. Thank goodness that that's not God. God doesn't just show up when things are resolved. God is with us every step of the way. He's with us in the valley. He's with us in the storm. He's with us in the fire. One of my favorite worship songs right now is a Hillsong song called Another in the Fire. And the chorus says, "There's another in the fire standing next to me. There's another in the waters, holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there's a cross that bears my burden where another died for me." The promise is not that trouble won't come. The promise is that when it does, God will be there with us. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could walk into the furnace in Daniel chapter 3 with confidence, because they knew even if God didn't deliver them from the fire, he would meet them in it. And sure enough, we read that there was a fourth man that appeared in the flames. Just like he was there for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, he will be there for us when life feels overwhelming. When fear and uncertainty strikes, we don't have to rely on ourselves or other people as our refuge. We can run to God first. Prayer, worship, scripture reading become places of refuge where we can hide in the arms of the one who is greater than whatever we face. This gives us peace that even when everything shakes, God remains immovable. And so the first truth we see is that God is our refuge in times of trouble. The second truth is that God is our refuge through his presence. Verse 4 of the psalm shifts the scene. We read, there's a river whose streams make the city of God, make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And it's a massive contrast in feelings between the earth giving away and mountains being thrown into the sea, to now we see a gentle river. The river was always a metaphor for the presence of God that brought refreshment and joy to his people. All the way back to Genesis chapter 2, the river was symbolic of God's presence. The rivers flowing in and out of the Garden of Eden remind us of the abundant life that flows through the presence of God. The psalmist paints a picture of the presence of God like a calming river that flows through the nations that are crumbling to the ground. Think about how being with a trusted loved one or friend can steady you. As children, when we're scared of the storm, where do we go? Into our father's arms or our mother's arms. As we get older, we find strength and comfort in the presence of our spouses, of our best friends. When things get tough, we find strength in being able to go to someone who was willing to carry it along with us. I don't know. For me, I go to Susie. I would hope that that would be my testimony as a husband, that I would go to my wife, but things are easier when we do it together. When things get scary, when things get tough, the weight can crush. And in the same way that a spouse can hold up their partner, we can go to the Father. God's presence, like the calming river, steadies his people. Doesn't make it easier necessarily. I guess it does kind of. Doesn't take it away. But thanks be to God that he comes alongside us and he can steady us. And he walks with us regardless of what we're going through. The presence of God is like a calm river in the midst of turmoil. It brings gladness to our heart. That's why in Psalm 16 it says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so even when the nations rage, when the worlds collapse, God's presence is a steady stream that never runs dry. And so we see that God's a refuge in times of trouble. We see that he's a refuge through his presence. And finally, we see that he's a refuge through his power. The last stanza reminds us of the mighty works of God. Verse 8, come behold the works how he has brought desolations on the earth, how he makes wars cease to end, how he breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the chariots with fire. And so the psalmist points back to the mighty works of the Father. God is not only present with us, but we can take refuge in him because he is all-powerful over everything. Quickly, let me give you four truths that are related to God's power. First, God's power protects us. In Psalm 62, verse 11, we're reminded that power belongs to God. At least as men, we think we can do it all on our own. Most of us do anyway. But be encouraged that when we run to him, we're not saying that we are saying that we're not enough. It doesn't make us less to say that our human strength is not enough. But instead, it says we rely on the one whose power is unlimited. And so the first thing is that his power protects us. The second thing that we learn is that his power sustains us. When we feel powerless, it's God's power that keeps us going. Our weakness becomes the very place that his strength shines brightest. And we've all been a part of situations that we thought were never going to end. Things that no matter how hard we've tried, we just can't get through it. But we're all here today. We made it. We didn't like it. But here we are. His power sustained us. That's why in 2 Corinthians, Paul says that my grace, Christ's grace, is sufficient, for Christ's power is made perfect in weakness. And so we see that his power protects us. We see that his power sustains us. Then we see that his power delivers us. Refuge, a place of safety. That place of safety is no good if it doesn't protect us from the battle around us. It's not really a place of refuge. It's just a different place that we go to lose the battle. But we see that God is not just a place to go to get away from the battle for a moment, but that God is a refuge because God delivers. He doesn't just shield us, but he brings us out of trouble. Now, I want to be really clear. In no way am I saying that by going to God, life is going to be easy and that you're always going to win. He might deliver us by bringing us home. But ultimately, his power delivers us. And just like the Israelites at the Red Sea, God's power can open a way when there seems to be no way. And so first we see that his power protects us. Then we see that his power sustains us. Then we see that his power delivers us. And finally, we should see that his power gives us confidence. I mean, look at this. They wrote a whole song that we're still singing thousands of years later. That's confidence. It would have been easy to move on. And maybe that generation not forget what God had done to those Assyrian soldiers, but maybe the next generation would. But no, the people had confidence that God had done it once and God would do it again. And so out of that confidence, this psalm was born. In the same way, we should have confidence when God's power is a place of refuge for us. Fear comes when we believe that our trouble is bigger than us. But refuge in God's power allows us to remember that nothing is bigger than him. When life overwhelms, we should lean into the refuge of His power and pray with confidence that the most powerful one is where you seek refuge. And so we see that His power protects, His power sustains, His power delivers, and His power gives confidence. The most well-known verse in this psalm, one of the most well-known verses in this psalm is verse 10. To be still and know that I am God. And next week we'll spend a lot more time with this verse. But for today, I just want to say this. Stillness isn't weakness. In fact, in the Christian Standard Version, it's translated, stop fighting and know that I am God. Sometimes we just got to stop trying to do it on our own and trust that His power is enough to handle what we cannot. Instead of trying to do it on our own, be still and take comfort in the reality that greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Psalm 46 began in chaos, but ended in confidence. And isn't that the journey of faith, moving from fear to trust? Not because our problems disappear, but because we discover who God is. So let me ask you today, where do you run when life falls apart? Where do you turn when the bottom drops out? Are you leaning on your own strength? Or are you resting in God as your refuge? If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then you can't know the refuge that comes from the Father. The Bible teaches that all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. One day, God's going to judge the world. He's going to judge the world in righteousness, which is bad news for us. But the good news is that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our refuge. Jesus lived the perfect life that we couldn't live. He died the death that we deserved. And He rose again in victory over sin and death. If you're looking for a place of refuge and you don't know Christ, then it starts by repenting of your sin, trusting in the Lord, and in Him you'll find shelter, not just for today, but for all eternity. And for those of us who are believers, maybe today you're weary. Maybe fear of the unknown, maybe fear of the known is pressing in. Maybe you've spent far too long trying to control everything and it's just exhausting you. The Lord invites you today to be still and to know that I am God. So run to Him and rest in Him. God is our refuge when the world shakes. God is our strength when we are weak. God is our peace when everything feels uncertain. So when life overwhelms you, don't measure your strength against the problem, but measure God's power against it. He is greater. He is faithful, and He alone will be exalted. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful that You are our place of refuge, that You are our place of strength. God, I pray that today, as we looked at this text, that we would be reminded that when things get difficult, that we can run to the one that holds it all together. And So God, I pray that we would cling to you, that we would find refuge and strength through you. Refuge and strength that only you can give. And God, I pray today if there's someone here who's never placed their faith in Christ for their salvation, that they don't really understand the refuge that we're talking about, that today would be the day of their salvation. God, however you're working in our lives, I pray that as we sing this last song, that we wouldn't allow ourselves to become distracted by what's next, that we would keep our eyes and our hearts focused on you. We ask all this in your name. Amen.